Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to Tag Talk. My name is Kylie. This is Haley. And what a day it's been. So before we get started, I just want to let y'all know that one, right now it's raining. There's a cat meowing outside my door and Haley's dog is like out and about in her house. So we might have some unintentional disruptions or visitors, but you know what? That's okay because that's the Tag Talk spirit. We're just chaos. Yep, she's meowing right now. I don't know if you guys can hear her. But if you can, I'm very sorry. But anyway, this is our All-In review / Impact review. And listen, All-In was a great show, and I'm really excited to talk about it. We will probably have to talk about CM Punk at some point, but this is not a CM Punk podcast, okay? Because honestly, I don't have the mental space for it right now. I'm preparing for a hurricane, and life is crazy. And that's that. But other than that, Haley, how are you?
You know, it's been a really tough week personally for me, but I'm always excited to, you know, come on here and talk wrestling with you and everybody else in the chat, so I'm excited.
Yeah, if you want your question, I see Kaden just did a super chat. If you want your question, your comment, whatever, read on air, make sure to submit a super chat and send us some love because, like, I'm going through it, guys. My brain is so fried. I'm so frazzled right now, but I'm here because I love Tag Talk. I love you guys. And I will never pass up an opportunity to talk about All in this amazing show. So I think we did all of the housekeeping. Kaden says,
I was going to read it so you didn't have to, but, you know.
Kaden says, Will Ospreay is the best wrestler of this generation. I will hear nothing else. Billy Goat crowns up. You guys should know that before the show, Kaden texted me asking to come on to talk about Will Ospreay, and I denied him. I just want you guys to know that. And also, Will Ospreay is not the best wrestler of his generation. That's a falsehood, a fallacy. But I think if you watch enough Tag Talk, you're well aware of that fact. listen, Will Ospreay is not in Kenny Omega's generation. They're a generation removed. But I think we're being objective, the early 30 crowd. I don't think Will Ospreay is the best wrestler in that generation. Speed Punk says, I forgot Impact was last night. Watch NWA. I got to check out Impact from last night. I forgot NWA was last night. And this morning I saw all the Camille stuff, but also the Tyrus stuff.
Tyrus getting winded, trying to run the ropes. Yeah, that was a lot.
that man was world champion.
Yeah. At least he isn't anymore. Doc, our internet dad. Hi, daughters. All in was fun. Match of the night. You know what? We'll get there. We're gonna talk all about that. I don't want to spoil what my match of the night is just yet. So
my match of the night, just to give us some lighthearted stuff after the Ospreay talk, mine was the main event.
Oh,
no, listen, Kenny Omega was great. I think my top three matches of the night were the main event, Adam Cole, MJF, Stadium Stampede, because that was just such good fun. I really loved it. And the Omega Trios. I think those were my top three matches.
Yeah, it was something.
I haven't watched a lot of Tyrus wrestle, right? One, because I don't support people that I think are wrong. And two, like, I don't watch a lot of NWA because I don't like it. So when I saw that clip, I was like, how did this man become world champion? And I've seen outrage. Like, I see Kate in the chat. I've, like, seen people be outraged about his wrestling and being world champ and stuff. But I don't know, guys. I don't know. And also, shout out Camille for having an 800-some-odd-day title run that no one talked about.
Such a sleeper. And it's such a shame. Like, I understand, like, you know, people don't watch NWA. Like, nobody really likes NWA currently as it stands. But, like, Camille, like, such a sleeper, man.
NWA is like purgatory of wrestling promotion. Like, you go there and then no one hears about you again until you leave.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I see cards and I see wrestlers and I'm like, I have no idea what this person is doing. And then all of a sudden they're out of NWA and they're doing other stuff and they're lighting the world on fire. It's crazy. Kate says, you could watch every match Tyrus had and you still wouldn't have seen him wrestle.
Yeah.
That's so true, Kate. So true. But now, wasn't it like a retirement stipulation? Now he's retired or something?
Allegedly.
I thought he worked for Fox News now.
He does, but, you know.
Oh,
I just pray that it stays that way.
Maybe, yeah, just go do Fox, replace Tucker Carlson and just be an absolute idiot.
Before I put it in the chat, we got a super chat from Ryan, our dad joke of the episode. What do you call a walking stick that makes you walk faster? A hurricane.
I read that as the outer bands of the storm have reached me, by the way. It is thundering. It is lightning. I have a cat
during this episode.
Yeah, I have a cat outside my door. I still have to go to class tonight. Oh, it's a whole thing. But Tyrus is retired. That's the good thing. That's the highlight. And also, this dad joke is pretty good.
Oh, man.
Do you hear this cat?
I do. She really wants to make her opinions on Tyrus, NWA, All In.
No, she is scared of storms. And what she wants is to come in here and scream at me until the storm stops. But I'm here doing tag talk, so she cannot scream at me until the storm stops. So I don't know. She's going to have to figure it out. She's grown. She's like 7 years old. That's a grown woman cat.
A baby.
That's a baby human. That's a grown woman cat. But anyway, back to Impact. Impact had a great show, and I think, you know, we're going to talk about the tag titles, but I think you guys should definitely go check it out because I heard nothing. Granted, I did not watch the whole show because I was tired. Listen, but I heard nothing but great things about the show. And it's talent. Sorry, I'm texting my dad back. But also there's discourse about women's wrestling that I'm just not interested in talking about. But if you want my thoughts on that, you can go to my Twitter and get my thoughts on that. But anyway, Haley and I, this is the Tag Team Wrestling Podcast. And when Haley told me this happened, I was so super stoked. So basically, it's Impact Emergence, I think was the show's name.
Yeah.
The Rascals win the Impact Tag Team title. So if you don't know, if you're like not plugged into Impact or maybe you're not plugged into So the Rascals and everything that's going on. The Rascals have kind of been, I guess I would say mainstays of Impact Wrestling for a long time. They've been like really reliable. They have great matches and they're super beloved. At least from what I see from fans and everything. And.
Well, and they just reunited.
Like, yeah. So the Rascals, all I could really think about is, do you remember they used to do those vignettes where they would sit like that 70s show style? Every time I think about the Rascals, I think about how cute they were with their little, when they first started, the little vignettes and everything. But anyway, so the Rascals beat Subculture to win the Impact World Tag Team titles. And I am so super stoked. I think the Rascals kind of get, we talked about Camille kind of getting lost in the shuffle. I think the Rascals kind of get lost in the shuffle in, you know, the world of tag team wrestling. Like, there's so many giants of tag team wrestling. Not even just in AEW, which is so still ridiculously super stacked, or in WWE. But, like, on the indies and, like, in smaller promotions, there's a lot of tag teams because tag team wrestling is really on an upswing. So, I do think the Rascals kind of got lost, lost in translation, I guess I would say. And so then winning the Impact World Tag Team titles, being back in the news and the cycle, and, you know, people, I think more people are watching Impact now. I'm excited to see where it goes for them. I think Impact deserves a lot of credit for the shows they put on this year. I think 2023 has been big for Impact, especially not just in tag, but in the women's division too. You know, the debut of Trinity, the news that Jordynne Grace was doing something. I don't know if she's coming back. She's coming back. I don't know if it's for like a show or she's coming back for a few appearances. I don't know the specifics of it, but Impact has been addressing a lot of, you know, holes, I guess, like plot holes in wrestling.
And Will Ospreay's coming back.
I'm leaving. Goodbye. Thank you for joining Tag Talk. had a good time. But no, I'm super proud of the Rascals. When Impact was in a time period where they were really struggling to get talent, especially when AEW first started, and there was that, well, even before that, I would think the ROH boom, when Impact was really struggling, it's people who were like the mainstays who really steered the course, and now Impact is in a good spot. So I'm super proud of them.
Sorry, I'm like literally, I was literally about to speak and I started choking. Wow. No, but I feel like Impact, again, we talk about sleepers. I feel like their tag team division kind of gets like overlooked sometimes, you know, like they have a lot of really great teams in there. They have a lot of really great, you know, performances on their shows, but I feel like nobody really talks about them that much. And like, granted, maybe it's just my timeline and like nobody's really watching Impact, but I don't know, man. This match was honestly my match of the night. I thought it was fantastic. I don't know. I'm really happy for the Rascals though. And I can't wait to see what they do with the titles. I wish that Subculture would have gotten a little bit more time with it, but they had a fun reign, although it was short. But yeah, I'm excited for the Rascals. They deserve it.
They really do. And I also kind of think about the Rascals. They're, you know, they're a great tag team, but I love, I guess, wrestling gimmicks, wrestling characters that are sort of fun. And they're not necessarily comedy, but I guess, I'm not sure what the word is, like a little bit goofy, a little bit more carefree and fun loving. And I think that's why I really enjoy the Rascals and teams like that, especially in, you know, teams like Bussy, who aren't just like super macho, like I'm here to kill people tag teams, which are fun. But and you know, the Young Bucks back in the day mostly, but even now sort of have that little, that fun creativity about them. So I really hope the Rascals get a lot out of this, because they deserve it. And Impact in general, I really do think Impact is doing a lot of great stuff. And a lot of people think that Impact is doing worse than it is because their production isn't high value like AEW or WWE, or maybe their talent are signed to like appearance deals. They're not full time, so you don't see the same people necessarily all the time. But listen, Impact is doing great stuff, and I think everybody should check it out.
Especially in their women's division, and I know, you know, we don't want to talk about some things in women's wrestling, but we did have a women's tag team match as well. It was a four-way between the Death Dolls, MKUltra, the Coven. I mean, it was a great match. I wish that it was longer, though. I think it was like less than 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, and considering the 8-man tag got like 20-something, I think, like, I would have liked to see this go a little bit longer. But how do you feel about MKUltra? I'm really into them. When it first happened, I was like, I would have never put Killer Kelly and Masha together. Mm-hmm. Like, but it just makes so much sense.
And yeah,
I love them. I love like the dark feminine energy that they bring. I just think they're so cool.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed them. I think that the risk of putting two wrestlers together, especially two wrestlers who were so established as singles competitors, like Masha and Killer Kelly, and had their own, you know, I don't want to say cult followings, it's definitely a risk. It's a creative risk. But I will say, I feel like they've both really dived into it and taken control of it and put their all into MKUltra. And I've enjoyed it. I think women's tag kind of, it becomes an afterthought, even in division, even in promotions rather that have titles or established women's tag division or something like that. But I really do think that this MK Ultra run, and even before MK Ultra was a thing, I think they've really put Impact rather has put a lot of stock into it. And I like seeing Masha treated like a star, like someone who can make anything work. Killer Kelly as well, but we kind of got to watch Masha grow as, you know, as a person and as a wrestler from the indies to Impact and hopefully beyond. So I'm into it. I think I'll be into anything Masha does. Like I think
Masha
I think I'll just even if it's bad, like even if it's objectively bad, I'll be like, Masha's doing her best to make
Masha
it work.
Masha could do no wrong in my eyes.
she's giving her all. Killer Kelly as well. I do like Killer Kelly. That's another one that I think a lot of wrestling fans have followed from the ground up. So MK Ultra, the name is a little,
it's a lot thing.
The name is a lot, but you know what? I think Impact has a gem there. So fingers crossed.
I mean, where do we begin with the rest of the show? I don't even know.
So let's talk about AEW All In, because I thought All In was a great show. There were obviously some issues, and I've made my thoughts on those issues known on my Twitter. And of course, there's also this drama coming out of the show with CM Punk and Jack Perry, which I am so tired of hearing about CM Punk getting in backstage fights and issues and altercations. Like, I'm so done hearing about it. So let's talk about All In and how great of a show it was, because I think every match on this card was good, at least, like bare minimum good. I had some different opinions from people, and I was a little bit surprised. Like FTR Young Bucks, and I think I had texted Haley about this. I thought it was weird. Like the vibes were a little weird, but other people enjoyed it. So I say we just take it top to bottom of the card and just give our thoughts.
Okay.
Did you say your match of the night was also the main event? Or are you still saving
that? No, I said I'm saving my
match. Oh, you're still saving it. Are you going to tell us like at the very end of the show or when we get to that match?
We'll get to it. When we get to it.
Okay. So let me pull up the card. Okay. Hook versus Jack Perry. I just have to give a shout out. I love that match. And the FTW title is whatever to me. Like, it's just there. It's whatever. I don't know why it's there, or I didn't even realize until recently that it was going to be a title that was defended. I thought it was just like Hook's little prop, but I will say this match was really excellent. And there's something about Hook and Jack Perry working together. Like they have great chemistry, and I'm not going to lie. I teared up a little bit seeing them, young talent who we've seen grow in AEW, seeing them wrestle in front of 80,000 people was super special to me.
Yeah. Especially Hook. I mean, what a great moment for him, you know, to be in front of the fans like that and win this title, you know, in front of his dad. Like, that had to have meant so much to Taz as well. You know, I liked it. It was good. I would have maybe left it off the card, to be honest, and put another mm-hmm. women's match here and just did this at, like, All Out or something, considering it's this week. But you know, it was a good addition to the pre-show. I mm-hmm. liked it. I'm glad they got to show out and play games like that.
So. Yeah, I wanted to get that one out of the way because I know this next mm-hmm. one, Haley has thoughts and opinions on because you're an Aussie Open fan.
Oh, what is this?
So we had on the pre-show, the 0 hour buy-in, whatever you want to call it, the ROH Tag Team Championships. It was MJF and Adam Cole versus Aussie Open. And MJF and Adam Cole won. They're the new ROH Tag Team Champions, which I did not see coming.
I was kind of shocked.
I was shocked, too. I thought for sure we were going to get some shenanigans, and then someone was going to get pinned and go into the main event mad, like typical wrestling stuff.
And I think we even said that last week when we did our
interview,
that like we figured something like that was going to happen. So when that swerved and they won, I was like, oh, that's crazy. Like, that's weird. And then I was like, they're not going to defend these titles, are they? Like, I don't know. But you know what? I'm okay with it as long as Aussie Open moves into the AEW tag division and does a lot of stuff there. I'm okay with that.
I think they will. I think because Aussie Open has really gotten over with AEW fans. it would almost be a missed opportunity to keep them in ROH specifically. Not that I don't enjoy ROH, but it is a smaller audience. And Aussie Open is, you know, a big audience act by this point, especially because Will Ospreay keeps showing up in AEW and, you know, more eyes are on United Empire and all that kind of stuff. But MJF Adam Cole as ROH tag team champions is weird to me because I'm guessing they're going to be defending these titles at All Out on AEW TV. Like, ROH tag titles are now going to be part of AEW TV again, I guess, because you can't really expect the AEW audience to then watch every ROH episode to keep up with the MJF Adam Cole story. It doesn't make sense, because spoiler alert for the main event, by the end of the show, they're friends again and they're holding up the ROH tag belts. So the story goes on, I guess, which I kind of like, because I think me and Haley, and as well as most people, predicted this was going to be the end of their friendship, but now they're still going. And I love the lack of predictability. And Adam Cole choosing MJF over Roderick Strong was super emotional. But this was a really great match. I think Aussie Open is... I'm coming around to Aussie Open still. I'm still kind of like turning the corner on them. They're good. I really do think they're good. I think they just need to find their footing as a tag team. Like, something about them feels a little bit off kilter. I think they're trying to figure out where they stand in AEW and figure out who they're going to be in front of this audience. But this was a good match. It was on the pre-show, so I didn't expect much, especially because MJF and Adam Cole were working the main event as well. I didn't expect anything crazy. But it was, you know, good classic storytelling wrestling. I thought it was good.
I am glad that they're milking the MJF and Adam Cole stuff, though, because from the beginning I was like, oh, they should definitely do that. Like, they have a lot of money there, you know, merch-wise, and, you know, I mean, they move a lot of tickets. Like, a lot of people love them as a tag team, so I'm glad that they're kind of invested in this, too. I don't know, and something about seeing that ROH belt around Adam Cole's waist really brought a tear to my eye. I was like, wow!
I was like, that's who you're meant to be! There's just something about Adam Cole is just synonymous with ROH in my brain. Mm-hmm. Like, even when he was at NXT, something didn't feel right. And now, even when he's in AEW, it feels good because he's, you know, part of the elite. But it's like, I don't know, he's born for ROH. I kind of feel the same way about CM Punk.
Yeah.
And Samoa Joe. I guess we'll move into CM Punk, Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. Like, they're both just, in my head, so synonymous with ROH and that style of wrestling and that era. So to see them do come into All In and do an ROH-style match, CM Punk versus Samoa Joe for the Real World title, Real World Championship, this was really, really good stuff. I will say, I thought it was absolutely hilarious that Samoa Joe was just so lovable and likable that by the end of the match, he had people who were chanting CM Punk before now booing CM Punk because they wanted Joe to win so bad. They just love seeing CM Punk get absolutely wrecked by Samoa Joe. This crowd was so great, and this match was so great. And Samoa Joe is... I think the last couple of years, people have said, you know, he's past his prime, he's long gone, whatever. But I think Samoa Joe, if he can pull out one of these matches every now and again, he's so valuable, so worth it. There's something about this generation of wrestlers, the Punk Samoa Joe generation, because they were born and raised in ROH, I don't know. But they just do wrestling so nicely. Like, it just fits so well. They're not crazy athletic because they're older, neither of them. They're not, you know, going to do 630s like a Ricochet or a Phoenix or something. I would fear for his life. If Samoa Joe was like, I'm going up, I'd be like, no, you're not.
I would be pulling him back down.
If I'm Doc Samson, I'm getting on that apron and I'm smacking him down. Yeah. He's not doing a 630. Yeah. If he can, and he can prove that, like, he can do it safely, whatever, Samoa Joe, do your 630. Live your life. It's not my life. But I don't know. There's just, and I can't really put my finger on it. There's just something so different about the way that generation does wrestling. And I really love that both Joe and Punk and Adam Cole and other ROH guys from that time period are in AW and could kind of pass that torch to the next generation of ROH guys or to the AW young people, because I think wrestling really does need that kind of gritty, unpredictable, sort of nasty wrestling style.
Every time I go to talk, I like choke. I don't know what's going on with me right now.
You're emotional about about when Samoa Joe.
Actually, I am, because, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, when I was watching Joe come out, I was like, how crazy is it that just a couple years ago he was doing like pre-shows and stuff for WWE, and now he's wrestling at Wembley against CM Punk in front of 80,000 people. Like, that's wild. Like, if you would have said that a couple years ago, I would have been like, you're insane.
But yeah.
I don't know. I got really choked up watching him come to the ring.
Just the smile on his face while people are chanting Joe and booing CM Punk. And CM Punk fit into his role excellently.
He was lapping up those boos.
The John Cena stuff, all that. He really was like, this is who I'm going to be now. It's unfortunate that the backstage thing happened between CM Punk and Jungle Boy, because I would have loved to see one CM Punk at the United Center for All Out. And also I would love to see that, would have loved to see them work it out and do that feud, because I think Jack Perry could learn. I love Jack Perry, but I think he could learn a lot from CM Punk and Samoa Joe and that style of wrestling. Graps on Tap says the Terry Funk tribute too. Yeah. This was just a great match. It was really, for if you're a wrestling historian or you're a wrestling super fan and like me and Haley, and you read into like the details of a match for story elements, I think CM Punk and Samoa Joe are two who really do it the best, especially because they're not as athletic as they used to be. I think they really leaned into that in this match and it worked in their favor. I will say though, I hate the Real World Championship thing. It's so stupid. So stupid.
It's, you know, it's certainly something. But I did miss this from Grabs. He also said, because he was there, he said the crowd was awesome during the Joe versus Punk match. Constant chants. The UK loves them both, but especially loves Joe. And I love seeing wrestlers get their flowers the way people like Joe and Punk are. Because I feel like a lot of the time, you know, it doesn't always take something unfortunate to happen for people to get their flowers, but I feel like that's when, you know, a lot of that stuff comes out. So it's nice to see, you know, that happen.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Somehow this ended up being the card order. The show then immediately goes into Bullet Club Gold.
It was a crazy, like, first three matches. Like, I had whiplash. Like, it was just banger after banger after banger. Like, no pun intended.
For no good reason.
Gang, gang, gang.
Okay, listen. The Bullet Club Gold entrance, incredible.
Listen, Juice, I love him so much.
He is so wild and unhinged. But he reminds me of, like, if you were driving down the road and there was a really fluffy little dog. And he was so dirty and matted. But, like, had so much, like, aggression. That, to me, is Juice Robinson. Juice Robinson getting, like, a career upswing in AEW is a blessing.
Yes. But also, I was going to say, there's a gif of this, actually, a dog. And I think I've used it on Twitter before, but it's, like, a little rabid dog. And now I'm going to think of Juice every time I use it.
That's what I think about. I think about, like, if you grabbed a dog and he's, like, kicking his legs and trying to bite you. But he's, like, so dirty and grungy. That's Juice Robinson. But his entrance was so good. And also, this match was so good. So, it was Bullet Club Gold versus Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, and Kota Ibushi. Hangman was in his element. And Kota Ibushi, I don't know. I think a lot of people are harder on Kota Ibushi than they should be. He's getting older and he wrestles like he's getting older, if we're, you know, and it's just finding how to adjust to your body in that age. It's like, we just talked about CM Punk and Samoa Joe, who have learned to adapt to the, you know, limitations of their body in older age. So it's, Kota Ibushi just has to get there. It just sucks that we have to witness it in real time. Sort of like the confusion and the embarrassment of it, of missing things that normally you would have nailed. But listen, Kota Ibushi is still an excellent wrestler. So is Kenny Omega. And this match was really good. We're getting Kenny Omega versus Takeshita at All Out. I almost wish it would have been Kenny Omega versus Jay White, because we never got that match at Impact when Kenny Omega was the belt collector way back in the day. And I understand the Don Callis thing and whatever Don Callis is doing. I just let him do it because he's just there. But when they squared up Kenny Omega and Jay White in this match, the crowd went nuts. Like, that is a big match. That is a big money match. And when you have the quick turnarounds of All In to All Out, I think you need one of those to really carry All Out, because people just spent money on All In. Who has money to buy another pay-per-view a week later? Especially if you live in the US, when pay-per-views are $50 and you either use a VPN or you pay the $50. So
in Canada, when they're paying exchange rates and everything else, like, just crazy.
It is just, that's another conversation, pay-per-view models and prices and everything, because what the heck? But this match was so good. And Bullet Club Gold, I had tweeted, like, I'm back in my Bullet Club era. And it's because Bullet Club Gold and Bullet Club New Japan are both doing so many fun things. It's like Bullet Club is something you can invest in again. It's not just the sad boys club after the Elite left. It's like, it really was sad boys club for a while. Like, there was nothing going on for Bullet Club. They were just sad boys. But now they're really working to build it into like a formidable force again. Bullet Club Gold and Bullet Club New Japan are two separate entities in my mind, but I think both of them are doing great. And I don't mind the Guns being part of Bullet Club Gold anymore. I used to not like it. I really rallied against it. But I think that they're exactly the kind of young, stupid, wacky little boys to be in Bullet Club. And it kind of reminds me of when the Young Bucks first joined Bullet Club. And they were just like cocky, arrogant, young little idiots who got into trouble all the time, but somehow became great wrestlers at the end. That's what it reminds me of. Especially, I think the last couple matches they've had with, like, Kenny Omega and the Elite, I think have been really great. So I'm into it. And also, I'm into Jay White. I think AEW getting Jay White instead of him going to WWE is going to be...
Thank
God. But honestly, like, I do think Jay White fits WWE. I think his character fits WWE because he's a switchblade, but he's not like Darby Allin or Moxley, who's like bloody gory, like beat you up in the streets. Like, he's more cunning and conniving in that way. So he would have fit in WWE. He probably would have been champ, probably would have wrestled Finn Balor 30 times. probably gotten an AJ match in there against the OC or something. But I think him being in AEW is going to turn out to be one of AEW's biggest gets, especially in this era where WWE isn't releasing everybody and their mother anymore. So I really like this match. Do you have any thoughts?
I think you covered literally every single thought I had, because, like, I know how invested we are in, you know, like, Bullet Club lore and, like, Elite stuff, and I don't know. I was hoping to see a couple, like, callbacks and stuff in this match, but I thought it was really good. I mean, you can't go wrong with Ibushi and Hangman and Kenny together. I was wondering if we were going to see any storytelling between, like, Hangman and Ibushi. We didn't really, but I don't know. And that's another thing. I was so happy to see Hangman in this place. I love him so much, and just to see him wrestle in front of, you know, a big crowd like this, like, the biggest match of his career, like, it's just crazy. I really love Hangman.
Yeah, there were a couple moments where Kenny reached for Hangman instead of Ibushi, but other than that, I don't think it was that too Ibushi Hangman rivalry driven. Yeah. I think this was really a showcase.
Probably
setting up a bigger feud between the groups for All Out, but I enjoyed it. It was good. And then we immediately transitioned into the AEW World Tag Team Championship match, FTR versus the Young Bucks. I'll let you give your thoughts first on this one.
Okay, well, first of all, I thought the placement was a little bit weird on the card. Like, when their entrances hit and they were going third, I was like, this is odd. But yeah. Okay, whatever. I'm not going to complain. And then the Bucks came out, and I was so confused at first, but then I was like, oh, Freddie Mercury, I got it. Okay. I actually really liked the gear, so shout out to Denise Butler for killing that again. But yeah, I don't know. This was my match of the show, I think. Aside from the main event, because the storytelling in that match was just incredible, I would put this up there. And there was a lot of discourse online about this match. And I know Kylie has her thoughts, but I really enjoyed it. I liked seeing Matt, you know, kick out of the Shatter Machine. And, you know, I don't know. I really liked it. And I thought it was really good.
Yeah, there were a lot of callbacks to their previous two matches. I did think this was the weakest of the trilogy. It was good, but there was a lot of, like, I don't know. It just felt weird to me. There's a lot of moments where I felt like Dax especially was, and, you know, they're in England, there's jet lag and all the kind of stuff, but it just seemed like they were just moving in slow motion and just going through it. I think Cash and Nick really got fired up and really carried the tone of the match.
And I think we texted each other during it, or maybe I was texting your sister or something, but I had noted, I was like, Matt is going really slow too. Yeah. And I was like, he must have been exhausted or something. I don't know. There were some spots where I was like, it's a little.
Yeah. Especially that section where it was like 3 or 4 minutes and it was Matt and Dax and they were just exchanging suplexes.
Yeah.
Like, it was, oh, here's a Northern Lights, here's a German, here's a Northern Lights, here's a German. And Matt would, like, do the roll through for the next Northern Lights. And they're shaky and not getting up.
Yeah, Matt was winded.
Well, and, like, commentary was like, oh, Dax is trying to get him in a hold. For the guillotine. But I was like, it didn't look like that. It looked to me like they were just not connecting on that sequence. It was a good match. Like, there's no way these two teams could ever have a bad match together. But I did think it was the weakest of the trilogy. And I do think FTR retaining is the wrong move. I think, apart from Cash Wheeler's extracurriculars, I think there's more value in the Young Bucks winning this match and going on to do great things, because then you can build for the, which I don't think is going to happen now because of CM Punk doing CM Punk things. CMFTR versus the Elite. I think them going for the retribution of the tag titles would make more sense. But FTR, I don't know where you go from then after here. I don't know what you're going to do with Cash Wheeler. They're tag champs. I guess they're going to have a match at All Out against someone. Graps on Tap says, the match took a while to get cooking, but the second half was rocking. Yeah, that's the vibe I got. It was I mean,
there were definitely other matches on the card where I was like, this is not great. But I thought it wasn't horrible, but it, like you said, it was the weakest of the trilogy. I will always say that their second match is the best, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of the issues with, like, the energy and the vibe kind of get exposed because Nick Jackson was just on another level. Like, Nick Jackson was like
insane.
I don't know. He was like a kid on like on a sugar high. He was going crazy. And I think he really highlighted the lack of energy from Matt, because Nick is, you know, he's doing this Hurricane Rana and this moonsault and doing this and doing that. And Cash is like spearing people. and Matt and Dax are like exchanging suplexes for a long time for no reason. So it was really like a tale of two wrestling styles, but it wasn't like the Young Bucks FTR. It was like Nick and Cash versus Matt and Dax. It was like so bizarre in that way. I think the story just didn't click for me. But it's the Young Bucks and FTR, and I'll never turn down the Young Bucks and FTR. I just don't know where the tag division goes from here. Because the Young Bucks said we're back in the tag division. They failed to win the titles. So I'm guessing they'll be back as part of the Bullet Club Gold feud. I don't know. And FTR, like, on Collision, there's really no one lined up after the Young Bucks for All Out. So I don't know. Maybe, listen, if they just give us a random team, just give us Butcher and the Blade and let them have a great match.
Give me Aussie Open.
But I don't know how you justify it, like storyline wise.
You don't have to, you know what? Just
do an open challenge.
Get them there, get them, give them the titles, and I'll be fine. That's what I want. Okay. That's literally
they, all I guess they could just do an open challenge at All Out and just give them the spot. But anyway, after the match, they don't shake hands. So they're still leaving the door open for another one, I guess, or a CMFTR Elite feud. I don't know. But it was good. The next match I really enjoyed is Stadium Stampede. I listed. Okay. So it was Best Friends, Orange Cassidy. Let me look at the list to make sure I don't forget anyone. yeah. So it's the Best Friends team, Orange Cassidy, Eddie Kingston, versus the Blackpool Combat Club, with Santana Ortiz, who I'm not sure are, I don't think they're part of the Blackpool Combat Club. I think they're just friends of the Blackpool Combat Club. Regardless, this was a riot. This was such great fun. Eddie was on another level the whole match. Penta did a costume change.
That Super Bowl-ass costume change. I didn't even realize he wasn't there. And then all of a sudden the music hit and I was like, oh my God.
I was like, oh. And then Excalibur's like trying to sell it and introduce it, but I'm like, he just changed his clothes. But because they had done a thing where he like got injured and got carted off, so it's like he's coming back from the dead. It was great fun. It was good. There were skewers, there were
that ladder top like breaking in half. Oh my God.
Everybody was bleeding.
Yeah,
Trent did this wild moonsault, and I was like, why doesn't he do that more often? Sue had a giant van.
The cookies.
Yeah, and she got kissed. And then
John Moxley.
And then Trent beats up John Moxley for kissing his mom for some reason. And then it was a lot. There was a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts. But I love the chaos of Stadium Stampede. Stadium Stampede Anarchy in the Arena. I just love these matches. They're so wild. And it was just a great match. And I think coming out of it, I think the Best Friends really deserve something. Whether that's Best Friends as a trio unit with Orange Cassidy or Best Friends just Chuck and Trent, whatever you want to do, I think they deserve something. Maybe you do FTR Best Friends at All Out. Maybe that's the move. Regardless, though, I think that Best Friends, and Trent especially in this match, really moved up, I think, in the eyes of a lot of people. Orange Cassidy is probably solidified as a guy you can always depend on.
I mean, the man has like 50 title defenses.
Yeah. And he's just, he basically has proven that he can do every style of wrestling. He can do comedy. He can do the serious singles. He can do tag. He can do this wacky Stadium Stampede nonsense. So Orange Cassidy, I remember when he came to AEW and he had so many naysayers. And they were like, this guy is such a joke. He can't wrestle.
Prove and honestly, even when he won the title, I remember a lot of people saying the same thing. But like, I mean, look at him now.
Yeah. He's good. And Eddie's being Eddie. I love Eddie Kingston. I'm so glad he's back in AEW. From the Renee sort of promo interview thing, you know, really snapping at her, getting mad at her, to this where he's absolutely just storming to the ring. He's covered in blood. He's beating everyone up. Eddie is just such a star. And hearing 80,000 people chant Eddie was like, that's a highlight of the show for me. Eddie Kingston just being absolutely adored, regardless of what he does or what he says. And I think back to when Pandemic AW, when he had like Eddie Kingston's family and he was a heel and it wasn't really working, to now. Like, he's such a natural babyface. And he just fits that role so well, because you want to root for a guy like Eddie, who's dedicated to his family and his friends, who is just so passionate about what he does, who will stop at nothing to do the right thing or to, you know, win a title, to get what he wants. Eddie was a real star in this for me.
I agree. I love Eddie too. And like you said, a natural baby face. I don't know. I just, the ending though, with Mox and Eddie in the ring, and he's like sticking up his middle finger. Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah, and Eddie has so many enemies, and Claudio to Moxley, he just has so many people who are just not on his side anymore. But you know what, Eddie, I'm on your side, and apparently 80,000 people are on Eddie's side. So here. Eddie needs a good match at All Out. I don't know what it would be. I would love to do Eddie Claudio, just because I would love to see it live, because we're going to be at All Out. I would love to see it live, I should say. But regardless, I think Eddie is one of those guys like Orange Cassidy who's really proven to be a staple of AEW and someone who can be relied on. So Stadium Stampede is a winner in my eyes. I will never not enjoy Stadium Stampede. Oh, sorry. Did you have? I was going to move on to the women's match. Okay. Listen, this was a lot. So the one women's match on the card was a four-way. It was Saraya, Toni Storm, Britt Baker, and Sheeta for the women's world title. And Saraya won. And listen, I had tweeted that Sheeta deserved more than a transitional run, and I stand by it. People were telling me, well, they needed the moment of Saraya winning because her family was there and you can do cutesy stuff with the fireworks and everything. But if you book wrestling solely for moments, you will run out of things to do. And I don't think Saraya should be champion. I think that Sheeta as champion, people were really excited about it. And I think, especially with Mercedes being there, and she's not cleared, but coming into AEW, presumably for some appearances or some matches or whatever they want to do with her, I think Mercedes Saraya is a match that you should book. I think people would be into it. I don't think it needs to be. I don't think Saraya needs the title to wrestle Mercedes. I think Sheeta needs the title to wrestle Mercedes. I think Mercedes challenging for the title gets Saraya in that match easy. And I think that's a bigger match, a better match than Saraya Mercedes. That's just my opinion. I know people who were excited for Saraya and excited about Saraya, and you have every right to be excited. But I'm just a little disheartened by it.
I'm trying to figure out how I want to say this without getting myself in trouble. Okay. Well, for me, I feel like there was a lot of disappointment regarding the women on this show. First of all, the match was less than 10 minutes, and it's your only women's match on the card. And you have these four women who are main event level women. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than them in the company, really. And it was like an 8-minute match. So that was my first gripe that I had. My second gripe is Sheeta not retaining. Especially all she did during the pandemic to carry the women's division in AEW. I thought that, you know, she was going to get this run as a thank you for, you know, servicing AEW during the pandemic. And then just like I think she had one successful title defense and then lost the title again. Kind of a bummer. I don't know. I'm happy for Saraya because, you know, she has gone through a lot with her career and, you know, her injuries and everything. And, you know, I sympathize with that. And, you know, coming back and, you know, not a lot of people can say that they can come back from an injury like that and win a world championship. So, you know, I'm happy for her in that regard. But personally, it's not the choice I would have made. It was certainly a choice. And it's not the choice I would have made. But hey.
Yeah, I've been trying to like think through and process the logic of it. And I understand that you want the moment and the sort of the legend of Saraya coming back from a career-ending injury, winning the title, being a star, all that kind of stuff. I don't understand then why Sheeta would have won the title at all. Because they did in the match tell the story of like the fractured outcast, like that faction. And so I don't understand then why Saraya gets embarrassed like this, which I'm not saying that Sheeta was embarrassed. I know Sheeta had tweeted some stuff about feeling disheartened, feeling maybe like she doesn't want to wrestle anymore, all that kind of stuff. which is totally kayfabe. It's her story. But I think it's a little bit, it's weird. It's like such a weird booking decision to have Sheeta win just to put Tony in this match and then have Saraya win it by beating Tony and over, like the whole match was Saraya versus Tony anyway.
Yeah. And I feel like honestly, the story would have been better if Tony was still champion and you had that kind of inner fighting, you know, like I just feel like if you're going to tell the same story anyway, I feel like there's more that they could have told with Tony as champion.
Yeah. And then you could have done like through the end of the year, Saraya versus Sheeta as the feud, because Sheeta still does have that beef with Saraya from way before the Outcast reform. So I don't know. Like, I don't follow the logic of this booking from Tony to Saraya. I don't understand everything that's going on. I don't really even understand why Britt Baker was there, because she was part of the Outcast feud, but a lot of stuff just gets lost in translation here. I think it's just poorly booked. I don't understand. I do not follow. I am confused.
Yeah. It was a very disheartening thing. I wish that they would have gotten a little bit more time, though, for sure. I feel like 8 minutes for four of your, you know, top women is kind of embarrassing. And, you know, I don't know. He didn't want to disrupt the flow of his show. So who am I to, you know, whatever.
It's ridiculous, though, when you consider that Chris Datt and Athena are both champions and they're both doing really well in their roles. And they would disrupt the flow of the show. And, like, we saw Saraya had Queen as We'll Rock You as her entrance music.
Oh, a slap to Emmy, I swear.
Honestly, yeah.
I was like, Emmy Sakura.
You had the Young Bucks dressing as Freddie Mercury. Yeah. And you had JR making weird questions about Freddie Mercury. And it's like, where's Emmy? Because you could have done Athena versus Emmy or Chris Statlander versus Emmy. And it would have been great because the entire arena would have gotten to do the We Will Rock You, and it wouldn't have had to be for Saraya, heel. I don't know. It was weird. And the whole women's division is super weird right now. I don't understand. I'm not following. And disrupt the flow of the show. The show, if you look at the card from top to bottom, it was not well organized. Like, there's no reason why we had to go from CM Punk to Bullet Club to FTR to Stadium Stampede. Like, that was exhausting. And then the women get 8 minutes, and then, oh, boom, we're back with a coffin match.
Yeah. It felt like a cool-off. And it was like, the women is a cool-off? Like, that's crazy. Like,
the Young Bucks always go in the second half of the card.
Yeah.
So if you had switched them, it would have been way better. Yeah. I didn't understand. I did not follow flow and time and pacing, whatever. This was not a well-paced show. It was good. It was an excellent show. The wrestling was top tier. But AEW shows are never well-paced. That's an excuse. Like, these shows are never, like, greatly structured. That's a lot. That has never happened. But anyway, this was a fine match. It was whatever. The whole women's division is in the dumpster, though. I don't understand anything that's going on. And now, for some reason, to the end of the year, we have, like, 200 pay-per-views and special events. We have, like, All Out. We have Stampede. We have Grand Slam. We have Wrestle Dream. We have Full Gear. We'll probably have more specials in December. I don't understand. AEW, your whole year isn't even well-paced. We have, like, we have two pay-per-views before June. And then June to December is, like, a pay-per-view every month. I don't understand it. Because now you have Forbidden Door and All In and Wrestle Dream. That's three more pay-per-views to your schedule.
Well, and they also have what Winter is Coming. They also have that.
It's whatever. It's Sting's debut. That's all I know about Winter's Coming. That's all I care about. But anyway, the coffin match was Sting and Darby Allin versus Swerve Strickland and Christian Cage. I really liked this because I really like Christian in this role. And I liked that he keeps telling people and telling Swerve, you'll never be like me because I'm TNT champion, even though Luchasaurus is TNT champion. Just absolutely being rude and mean and vicious. And I would have liked to see Swerve and Aerofox because I really do. I did love A.R. Fox in The Mogul Embassy. I thought that was like a natural fit, and I love those two together. I thought they worked really well together, but it's whatever. This coffin match was fun. I loved Sting getting some moments as Joker Sting. I loved him stopping the closing of the coffin with the baseball bat. Thought that was good. Don't understand how a baseball bat stops the coffin closing, but not Swerve's hair. I'm not sure. I feel
it
like that we,
now,
we should
it was.
We should roll the tape, maybe like, you know, get that decision evaluated. But this was fun. Darby Allin did Darby Allin stuff, took a coffin drop to a coffin on the outside
that
of the ring.
My back hurt watching him do that.
Why, who wants to do that? Like, who sits and thinks like, oh, I'm gonna try this coffin?
It's like, logically, did it really make that much sense? No. But like, it's Darby and he's gonna do Darby things, and I don't know, my back hurt though watching him do that. I was like, just close it normally. Like, why do we have to do a coffin drop onto a coffin?
Yeah, just be normal for once. Like, it's already a coffin match, it's already weird. Yeah. You're like putting people in a grave, essentially, and you're gonna put yourself in a grave. Okay.
Everyone, that's for sure.
Nick Wayne made an appearance. Which was good. Good fun. Luchasaurus, you know, took care of him though. But this was fun. I thought it, you know, it did what it needed to do. Sting having these matches is kind of a blessing in 2023. I am savoring every moment we have with him. And Swerve getting to wrestle against Darby, who is a bona fide AW homegrown star, and Sting, who's a legend of wrestling. Swerve getting to wrestle them in front of 80,000 people in London is a big deal. And Christian is there. Christian is always going to be there. Christian is a... I love this Christian Cage. I cannot say it enough. I say it every tag talk, but I love him. So this was good to me. I liked it.
And we also have to talk about Sting coming out to Seek and Destroy by Metallica.
I totally forgot.
Listen, I wasn't sure like how entrances and things were going to go for the show, but I'm so glad that Tony shelled
out money
for these entrances, because it just really made it so special. And hearing the riff, oh my God, I was like, I was headbanging. I was going literally absolutely insane.
It was top notch. I was a little upset because Soraya had We Will Rock You, and then she had her normal music when she won. I kind of hoped we would have had Seek and Destroy and then Darby's music, just because I think Darby's music in that stadium with that crowd would have been really fun to hear because it's so bass heavy. But it was good. You can have Seek and Destroy. I'll give it to you. It's a special moment for Sting. you can have it. It's okay. This match was good, though. It was a coffin match. Like, you can't expect, you know, greatness. I think they are great. Everybody here is great, but you know what I mean. And then we had Will Ospreay, Chris Jericho, which Chris Jericho living out his rock star dreams. Singing himself to the ring, first of all, with his band, and the crowd singing Judas, which didn't come across well on the stream, the pay-per-view. But I've seen videos. The crowd was super loud. This match was good. I thought Will Ospreay and Chris Jericho both were good. I wasn't that invested in this match at all. Typically, I don't enjoy Will Ospreay. And typically, I don't like Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. Like, that whole dynamic. And Chris Jericho matches, to me, they're kind of hit or miss. So this was fine. It was good. I think Will Ospreay's entrance and his performance in this match, to me, says that he's going to be big for AEW moving forward. Whether that's he's signing to AEW or he comes in for big match appearances, regardless of what it is, I think this was a Will Ospreay showcase. And I think it did what it needed to do.
Well, where do I even start? First of all, I want to start with the Foxy thing because, listen, so weird. Honestly, though, like, if I had a band or, like, whatever, like, I would want to add that to my Wikipedia. So I would totally also do that. If I was Chris Jericho, like, I would do that. But oh, man, yeah, Ospreay's entrance, honestly, it's up there for me with entrances of the year. I just, star making, like, or not star making, but I mean, just like you said, definitely going to be a big player in AEW moving forward. Just the pyro, him coming out to Elevated, the gear. I loved his gear. I thought it was so sick. The match, I thought it was fine. I feel like their styles, I don't know. I felt like there was a lot of times where Ospreay was kind of having to carry a lot of the weight with Jericho. But I feel like that's just the nature of Ospreay. He's just the way he wrestles and how conditioned he is. Like, I don't know. I don't even think I could keep up with him in the ring. So, but, you know, it was a good match. Yeah, I don't know. I was happy that he got this moment, though.
Oh, 100%. And I think that's, I think Ospreay would have to carry a lot of this, the weight of like doing spots and also the weight of being Will Ospreay, because I don't think in 2023 Chris Jericho is going to be able to work a Will Ospreay paced match. No. Like, even when Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega wrestle, where Kenny Omega wrestles kind of the same pace as Will Ospreay, Kenny slows down. Even way back when they wrestled in New Japan, it's, you know, matching that style. But I think Will Ospreay, when he had to be slowed down, but I think he still got in his high spots here and his sort of Will Ospreay style stuff. So it was definitely a showcase for him. And Chris Jericho is just excellent at doing these little showcase situations for younger talent. I think he's done a great job. And then at the end, the tension between Sammy and Chris Jericho, I'm not that into the story. I think I'm kind of over it. It is what it is. But hopefully Sammy is off on his own now, question mark. But this was fine. It was a good match before the main event, which I loved. So the main event was MJF versus Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship. It was a story of friends fighting each other, almost losing themselves, and then coming back together at the end. They put the shirts on. MJF rips his shirt off. Roderick Strong is there being, you know, telling Adam Cole, I'm your best friend, love me, choose me, Meredith Grey style.
It was so...
And then Adam Cole doesn't choose Roderick Strong, despite losing to MJF. He ends up siding with MJF at the end, at least for now. There was a weird, like, double pin reversed into, like, a sudden death situation, which was hokey and goofy, but I kind of loved it at the same time, just because I was so into this match. And it was just in-ring excellent. Like, it's MJF and Adam Cole, of course, is going to be excellent. And at the end, Adam Cole's, like, crying because he lost. And MJF's, like, trying to console him. He's like, it's okay, buddy. Like, it's really okay. Like, these people still love you. You really won in the end because look how much they love you. And seeing MJF like that was... I felt like I was seeing something I wasn't supposed to see. Like, I was like, oh, I am not supposed to be here right now. Like,
let me look. Very intimate. Like,
the way he was talking to Adam Cole, like, he was like, it's so soft. And like, and then Adam Cole, you know, throws the ROH belt. He's mad because he lost. And MJF's like, okay, then hit me. He gives him the AW title. He's like, hit me. And then MJF's like, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I believed it. I'm so stupid. Which I was, again, like, I'm seeing something I'm not supposed to see. But no, this was just, I loved it. I'm a sucker for, like, teen drama wrestling stories. I loved it.
No, I did too. And I wanted to talk about MJF's entrance for a second, because... First of all, I thought it was great. I think his pay-per-view entrances lately have really been, like, a step up. But, I don't know, just, like, the purple, it felt so, like, regal. And, like, listen, I really wanted Adam Cole to win. Okay? Like, I'm not going to deny. Like, I would love to see Adam Cole with the AEW World Championship. Like, I would absolutely love that. But I'm glad that they're, again, milking this story. And I think it's kind of interesting that this has taken on, like, it's become, like, AEW's version of, like, the Bloodline story. But the fact that, like, they've done so much with the story in so little time, and it's gotten people so invested in the Bloodline, it's taken, like, years. I know. Years of building. It's like kind of crazy.
I was of, and I really did believe that Adam Cole being world champion and turning on MJF was like the best way to go. But after this angle, I don't want this story to end. Like, MJF as a babyface is so weird, but I'm so into it, especially because he's still MJF. Like, he's still doing MJF things. Like, he's holding tights and, you know, cutting promos where he makes fun of fans and being MJF. But for some reason now it's okay. And I love him for it because he's just flawed. You know, we all have our flaws, but he loves Adam Cole. So it's okay that he's like this because he loves Adam Cole. And Roddy being the jealous friend who never goes away is so funny.
Such a pick me.
He's such a pick me.
Like, it was such a pick me. Like, no offense to Roddy, but it was so loser energy.
He shows up in his neck brace. So he flew to England in a neck brace to be there to convince Adam Cole to love him.
The way, have you seen the video of him like marching to the back?
No.
There's a video of him circulating on Twitter of him, like, after he, like, Adam, like, ejects him and, like, makes him leave, whatever. And he's, like, marching to the back. And it reminds me of that video of Cody that went viral a couple months ago.
Oh, my God. Like, speaking of Cody, I kind of felt like MJF's entrance was, like, a subtle tribute to Cody with the throne from Cody.
Yeah. It was very Triple H asking.
And then there's, like, girls bowing on the ground, which is so MJF. But like I said, yes, flaws. You
see the girl get hit with the...
Yes! So the white, like, frame?
Yes. She went slapped with that thing. I hope she's okay.
I think so. But it's her fault because she was, like, in front of it. The other girl was, like, behind it. So yeah. It's her fault. But this was such a great main event. I'm so into it. And Adam Cole going from people saying this guy is too small to main event WrestleMania, to main eventing a show that's bigger than WrestleMania, size-wise, I think is so special. And I think it says a lot that MJF is now in a place where he's in the biggest story in AEW, one of the biggest stories in wrestling. He's the world champion, and he's somehow making it work as not even a tweener. He's a babyface who's just a jerk, but somehow it works, and people love him for it. So that's a huge credit to him. And when MJF, either regardless of how it ends, MJF turns on Adam Cole or Adam Cole turns on MJF, I know I'm going to be devastated.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be so emotional. And the fact that now they have, you know, the ROH tag belts and, like, they're really going to extend this story. Like, I'm so scared. I feel like I'm going to sob.
And I think back to Adam Cole does Twitch streams where he plays video games. And in one of the streams, he's just playing a game and MJF calls him and is like, we need to talk about our strategy for the tag tournament. And Adam Cole's like, hi, I'm not talking about wrestling right now because I do video games and then I do wrestling and they're separate things. And MJF's like, anyway, let's talk about what we're going to do. Going from that to MJF consoling him while he cries in front of 80,000 people and however many more who bought the pay-per-view. It's really special. I really enjoyed it. So overall, I really loved All In. I thought it was a great second edition of the original All In. And I'm curious to see what AEW manages to wrangle together for All Out. It's going to be a wild week.
It is. And, you know, we're both going to be there. And I feel like this is a good time to say that we are filming a special together in Chicago. So that'll either go up sometime on Saturday if I can get it, or like Sunday morning, but it's going to be like our All Out preview. So definitely check that out. Two episodes of Tag Talk in a week, and then we'll be back Monday for our regularly scheduled Tag Talk. Y'all just can't get rid of us. I'm sorry.
Listen, I don't want them to get rid of us.
But you know what? I feel like we've taken so much time off for, like, mental health days or, like, you know, just, like, work things that, like...
We owe them.
We do. We owe them content, yes.
Thank you guys for joining us for a little All In review. This is a lot of fun, and it really listen, it took my mind off the impending doom of this hurricane. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Haley, do you have any final thoughts and your plugs?
My final thoughts, man. I don't know. After watching All In, I feel like wrestling, mostly, besides some aspects of it, is in a really good place. Just, you know, seeing everybody come together this weekend and enjoy a really great weekend of wrestling, not just AEW, but Impact, and, you know, the Rev Pro show, and just all of it, like, it was really cool to see. And they'll be back in London next year, so I'm excited to see how that goes, and I'm trying to go, so fingers crossed for that. Please pray for me. But yeah, I had a really fun show. I definitely needed this after a crazy week of things. Thank you guys for always being so supportive and tuning in to Tag Talk every week. I know it's like in the middle of the workday, but the fact that some of you, you know, take time to put the stream on and, you know, work and listen to us ramble, or, you know, if you're in a different time zone and you're watching it before bed, like, it really means a lot to both me and Kylie. So thank you.
I second everything Haley said. Tag Talk is such an outlet. So thank you guys so much for coming every week and, you know, being in the chat and doing your super chats and letting us know how you feel. I truly love doing this show. And All In, I feel like, was such a great show. And the fact that we could all come together to celebrate, like, this monumental victory for wrestling in 2023. It was just such a great highlight for me. Haley, did you do your plugs?
Oh, no. Yeah. Sorry. You guys can follow me on Twitter. I'm at HaleyAnn_. I also wrote a book. It's called Eating the Indies. It's a cookbook with a bunch of independent wrestlers. You can pick it up on Amazon, hard copies and ebook. I also do writing things for Nerds and Beyond in my Substack. That's all linked on my Twitter. So, you know, if you want to find it, it's there.
You can follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling for my, you know, apparently hot takes, if I've learned anything over the weekend. This is Fightful Overbooked. This is a channel that is full of amazing content from amazing people. So you should subscribe and go check out some of those shows. There's Jeremy's here, Joel's here. There's just a lot going on this channel. So make sure you subscribe. And also, this is Tag Talk. We are live every Monday at 3, which is, like Haley said, a weird time. But, you know, you guys always show up for us. So we're live every Monday at 3. Typically, every Monday at 3, I should say. Sometimes there are issues, but you need to follow us on Twitter for the communication on those. We talk tag team wrestling. Not every episode is a review like this, if this is your first time seeing us. But, you know, you can expect tag team wrestling and overall, you know, chaos and absolute nonsense. But that's kind of the Tag Talk vibe. So every Monday at 3, Fightful Overbooked. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Haley, remember, you have to end the stream because I have to get back in here. I was gone for a month and StreamYard revoked my producer access. So I have to send a message to get my access back. But anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us and being part of the chat and being part of our show, our little community. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.